That's 2 days in a row we've been talking with each other.
At least they're missing all the drama. Oh, speaking of drama, woman, oh my God, you can love the next story.
Why you always wait until the show starts to mention that juice when I can't hear it? That just drives me crazy. I don't know.
I know, girl, and this is epic. Epic. And I'm going to cut somebody. No, not even just cut. Totally nuke.
I got an inventory full of swords. Just point me in their direction. So, look here. Good morning, people out there in the Gamerverse. You're listening to Lunch with Ginger and Corey. I'm Corey.
And I'm Ginger.
And what you're hearing in the background that's probably assaulting your ears at work and you're frowning is Sonic the Hedgehog 2 Eggbone. Yeah, some of you are like, I remember that. What is it? Yeah, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, not the first one. I was never a Sonic fan. Were you a Sonic fan?
I did a little bit on the original Sega, if that tells you how long ago it was.
Yeah, I was never. I think I got Sonic out every time I showed up at my boyfriend's house. That's what they were playing, and I just was like, stop it already.
No, I was more of a Kirby fan.
I was not into Kirby either. I never liked any of those, not even Mario. Ironically, I talk about Mario. Mario's epic, but I was never a Mario fan. Sonic, none of those. My video game thing, my addiction actually started with I can't remember the name of it. It was a ninja game, and it was on, let me show you how far back I go, Sega Master System. I can't remember the name of the game. Now, that I played every day. It had to do with a ninja. See, the cutting began long before I got here.
No, my original addiction was Final Fantasy for the original NES,
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those, if you took the cartridge out, or if you even bumped the machine wrong, you had to start all over again, because it had no way to save.
Oh, let me flash you back. Remember this?
Mm-hmm. How many times my siblings just about got the crap beat out of them for taking the cartridge out?
Wait, one more time for those of you out there. Some of you young people don't get it, but you have to tap on the cartridge.
Or you'd bang on the machine itself.
Yeah. See, now you send it back. You're complaining about a warranty. We didn't have a warranty.
Mm-mm, there was no warranty. It'll work or it won't.
All consoles were modded because you had to take it apart to fix it yourself.
All the darn time, too.
Look, how'd you fix yours? Well, I had some chewing gum wrapper and some gum, and I took these two wires right there, you know, the ones that are connected around, and I stuck those together. I put the gum on it, and I put the wrapper around it. Yeah, that worked.
Pretty much mine was bread ties.
Oh, see? You guys thought you were doing something new by opening up your console. No, you aren't. It's just now they're saying we'll fix it for you so you don't have the issues. Couldn't take it back to the store either.
Mm-mm. They just look at it like, what do you want us to do?
And they didn't say it that nice either. What do you want us to do about it?
Pretty much. You bought it. Your problem.
progress in the gaming industry. So, speaking of progress, it's time for some news. Ginger's got some early juice.
Yes, I do. Sadly, y'all can't hear the really good juice until I get the story up. But anyways, BlizzCon 2011 tickets go on sale in late May. I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com this morning. Blizzard Entertainment will start selling tickets for its 6th BlizzCon gaming convention in 2 batches on Saturday, May 21st and Wednesday, May 25th. Yay!
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I wish I could go. Not that my account's open at the moment. I should reopen that. In addition, a limited number of tickets to an exclusive pre-BlizzCon dinner to benefit Children's Hospital of Orange County will go on sale Saturday, May 28th. As Gamma Sutra points out, this year's tickets will cost more. Will cost much more than last year's entry fee. This year's tickets cost around $175. In 2010, they were only $150. 29, $125. And back 2005 through 2008, they only cost $100. So they've gone up quite a bit. Approximately 28,000 tickets were sold for the 2010 event. So hopefully there'll be more this year. Maybe. I don't know. The economy's kind of eh. But you Blizzard fans are crazy, too. So BlizzCon 2011 takes place October 21st and 22nd at the Anaheim Convention Center, offering the usual assortment of gaming competitions, developer meet and greets, special events, contests and game reveals. Tickets will be sold in two batches starting at 10 a.m. Pacific. Cannot talk. 10 a.m. Pacific time on Wednesday, May 25th, and 7 p.m. Pacific time on Saturday, May 28th, through the BlizzCon website, which is blizzcon.com. There are around 200 special event tickets, which will also include access to a special benefit dinner. The cost of these, ouch, a whopping $500.
Ooh. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No, no.
Of course, that will go towards the Children's Hospital of Orange County. So it's for a good cause.
Well, in that instance, okay.
Yeah, that's not bad.
I think they should probably put up a donation if they're, or do we know if they have one? Why don't you pop over while I do my story and find out if they have a box to donate? Because that'll be good if you, since you're, you know, can't just be about everybody that's going. Good to raise money. Some people will donate.
All right.
Oh, is it my turn?
It is your turn.
Oh, gosh. So much juice, so little time. Okay, where to go? I got mailbox stuff. Okay, I guess I'll start here because, you know, I love Rockstar. So, do you guys wonder what the former Rockstar devs, the ones that left, have done? The two former senior Rockstar Games developers, Andy Greensmith, hi Andy, and Martin Brummel, have started their own consultancy, Infinite Games, and that's spelled with a capital N, or majuscule if you're French, majuscule N, not I-N like it's supposed to be spelled, because some of you think that's the normal spelling. It is not. Greensmith has worked as a lead programmer on Red Dead Redemption for PlayStation 3 and handheld mobile versions of GTA, Chinatown Wars, Manhunt 2, awesome game, and Midnight Club 2. Rama was also the lead designer on GTA, Chinatown Wars, Vice City Stories, and Liberty City Stories, also excellent, and before Rockstar held positions at Argonaut and Particle Systems. Gosh, I hate when crazy. In line with an evolving industry horizon, expanding opportunities, and what would seem to be an exciting new age for independent developers, Infinite Games has been established as a highly motivated, experienced, and highly skilled team offering premium development consultancy for studios and publishers, and that's what's on the company's website. The business has been established with the assistance from Insight for Hire, the business development company headed by Martin Brouwen, co-founder of Team 17. Does that mean we're not going to get any really good stories when the next GTA comes out? Are we getting a new GTA? Come on now, people.
That would be nice, but, yeah. I don't know.
Well, I guess we'll find out. Okay. Oh, wow.
Oh, wow, as in you have a second story you want to do, or oh, wow, for me to go?
Oh, you can go ahead and go. I'm not sure if there's a story yet. So, people, you know, people, we start telling them to send us stuff, and they send us stuff, like, right dead on time. But, you know, I have to look over it first before I share it. It could be saying, you know, eat monkey poop somewhere in the middle, just because. So we can't say it just straight away, but, yeah.
All right. Starting the 15th of April, your definitive online Halo destination will unlock new corners of the Halo universe as a slew of new features arrive for the Xbox 360 version of Halo Waypoint, including stat tracking, community sharing, and game launching options. All right, so what is this? 343 Industries grows Halo universe with new waypoint features and dramatic motion comic. Additionally, 343 Industries is excited to release even more news today to kick off the spring season, including the premiere of a brand new motion comic series entitled The Mona Lisa on the 23rd of April, and a fresh lineup of Halo avatar items and action figures. So cool. This Friday, Halo Waypoint, your source for Halo news, community content, and insight from the Halo universe, will receive an update with numerous features and a significant performance boost for the entire experience, making Waypoint faster and smoother. For the first time, your Halo Reach service record will be fully accessible from Waypoint, making everything from detailed game history to weapon stats and challenges available at your fingertips anytime you're using your Xbox 360. There's even a brand new Compare with Friends feature that lets you compare your stats against your friends and your rivals, along with two new Waypoint career levels. You can also get many of these same great Waypoint features on the Windows Phone 7 with the Waypoint application available on the Windows Phone App Store, which you can find at halowaypoint.com. The update also adds the ability to launch the games on demand version of Halo Reach straight from Waypoint, and introduces a new video player which features the same instant-on streaming technology utilized by Zune, making the viewing of Halo Fiction and community videos on Waypoint over Xbox Live faster and easier.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, right. So what is this Mona Lisa? The Mona Lisa is a vivid motion comic that retells a dark tale from the Halo Evolutions anthology, set shortly after the events of Halo Combat Evolved, and brought dramatically to life by leading production studios One and Pyramid. It's going to be Wednesday all day today. Sent on a highly classified mission in the debris field of the Halo artifact, the crew of the UNSC Red Horse discover a derelict prison ship, the Mona Lisa.
You cut out completely then.
I know, right? When a contingent of Marines board this vessel, they come face to face with a more terrifying threat than the Covenant and are forced to battle for their very survival. The Mona Lisa will be available for Waypoint on Xbox Live, Windows Phone 7, and on the web when it premieres next Saturday. So be sure to tune in. Awesome. Fresh lineup of Halo avatar items and action figures. Just like it says, there's going to be new Halo avatar gear and props, including a new selection of Spartan helms and Red versus Blue t-shirts. Ooh, I like Red versus Blue t-shirts.
That's right.
Griffball fans alike. Available the 14th of April on Xbox Live, this new avatar collection also includes the single most infectious prop we've ever grown, a flood infection form for your avatar to very carefully nurture and love. Oh, that's cute. Of course, also, the Halo franchise will be enjoying its 10th anniversary this year. Wow, has it really been around for 10 years? With the celebrations kicking off at the Penny Arcade Expo Prime in Seattle on the 26th and 27th and 28th of August. You can stay tuned for more information, which we will get to you as we get it.
All right. Well.
All right, that was long. We're
both sleepy. But I got to say, I'm very enraged by the next story. This comes enraged. Sega, apparently. This is from GamesIndustry.biz. Sega has quashed the Streets of Rage fan remake. Streets of Rage was one of my all-time favorite games. That's good for any kind of rage. You come home and you're mad at your boss. And although a lot of people think that some of the newer games is where all the pick up anything in the environment and fight with is where, you know, it was a newer thing, it actually came from this game. Way back in the 90s, you could pick up anything on screen and beat the crap out of anybody. Oh, wonderful fun. Okay, good for Rage. But anyway, apparently Sega's lawyers have demanded that a fan remake of Streets of Rage be removed from its download site after only a week of availability. The game was developed by Bomber Games, and the game has been about 8 years in the making for them and featured 103 stages, 19 playable characters, 64 different enemies, and 83 remix songs, and more than 40 cutscenes, and get this, 8 completely different endings. Awesome work, right?
That is.
Yeah, and the statement on the Bomber Games forum requested that all distribution of the title cease until the legal situation was clarified, and... Boo, Sega. They're saying Sega had contacted them regarding the download hosted on their site. While this issue is being resolved, please do not upload the game for others to download, and any links posted on this site will be removed. Thank you. Since making the legal request, Sega did issue a statement over at our frenemies website, Kotaku, explaining the decision. They're saying Sega is committed to supporting any fans that take an interest in our games, and where possible, we do so by involving them in beta tests and other development, marketing, and research opportunities. However, we need to protect our intellectual property rights, and this may result in us requesting that our fans remove online imagery, videos, or games in some instances. Sega, come close. Come close. Come close, Sega. Stop it! Stop it! Come on, you had a console, you stopped making them, you went strictly to making games. Somebody remade one of the top, I'm going to say one of the top games you've ever had associated with Sega. I loved it way better than Sonic. I played it all the time next to Shadowrun. So I don't see what the big deal is. I'm hoping that they're just, you know, tying up loose ends to make sure everybody's safe. That's what I hope. I hope they're not going to try to take it from them or completely quash it. Because as someone else is commenting down here on Games Industry Biz, is that, you know, Valve has had the same thing done where people make fan mods and things, and what they do is pull those people under their wing, you know, pull them under our umbrella. Let us help you. You did a good job with our stuff. Now here's what we're going to do. We're going to pay you now. You're going to work for us. And
that's a good way to do it, too.
Yeah, and that way
it keeps bringing people in.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that's what they're doing. That's where, but why they're saying let's take everything down until we get it all settled and on paper. But I don't think that's what they're doing. I think they're over there being like, put it this way. Before the Shadowrun FPS was released, a friend developer of mine was developing a Shadowrun that was based on the actual tabletop series. For those of you who don't know, Shadowrun was a tabletop game just like Dungeons & Dragons and Vampire the Masquerade. And it was made into a video game back in the 90s. It was on Sega and NES. And he and a team got together and decided they were going to make an MMO, which was looking absolutely excellent. I interviewed them. Microsoft saw it. Cease and desist order. What did you guys get that you thought was going to be so great? A Shadowrun FPS that was basically a ripoff of Halo, and it has since gone down in flames. Please. And the cease and desist was because Microsoft didn't want, you know, these other guys to make the MMO, when what they should have done was say, you know what? You know, Shadowrun guys, we know this is your game and we have you under our umbrella, but this will look really good. If this FPS doesn't work out, we always got this MMO business over here to work with. That's what I would have done, but what do I know? So they shut down their game, and Shadowrun, the FPS, did not work. Most of you were new to the whole franchise, had no idea what was going on. And me, of course, I was yelling at the developer standing in the middle of the E3 floor, so that wasn't pretty either.
You, I think that's pretty hot.
It was. Blaster was like, can you stop yelling at this man? As soon as he told me it wasn't going to be an RPG and it was an FPS, I started screaming, standing right there in front of this big, you know, two-story sign that was an ad for the game. I was like, what the hell? You make a first-person shooter. Okay. So, yeah.
Get him, Corey. Get him.
Hey, I loves my games. That's all I got to say to you. Loves my games. Mm-hmm. Okay, I just announced this on Twitter, so before I hand the reins back to Ginger, we do have stuff to give away, and I told you had to be listening to find out what it is. You know how all of you were out there were complaining you all didn't get a chance to win a copy of Magicka? Well, you get your chance today, and I'm not even going to make you jump through a whole lot of hoops to do it. Just when I say so, whatever it is I say, Simon says or Magicka says, just do it. And not only will you get a copy of Magicka, you'll get a copy of the new one as well, Vietnam.
Ha! Ooh, that is nice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So we love you, Paradox, and we love you, our listeners. Okay? Follow us on Twitter or hang around our Facebook page or camp the site like some of you like to do to wait to get stuff. And we'll give it away. And I also have an iPhone game for you. If you read Ginger's review of Cannon Fodder, you should read it.
That was a lot of fun. It's so much fun to go blow people up. So much fun.
Now, those of you who have iPhones, I also got one of those to give to you. So go over, check out the review. You know what? I'll make that one easy on you, too. Leave a comment for Ginger.
Oh, yes. Leave me a comment.
Just a random comment, and I'll give you. I only have one of those to give away, though. So it's a first come, first serve. You don't comment, you don't get it.
I love how you say that. That is so cute.
Ginger, go, 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 go.
All right, Area Games donates $25,000 to Japan tsunami victims. Area Games, a leading global... we don't care about that. Anyways, they make games. microtransaction-based online games. Has raised $25,000 for victims of the recent tsunami and earthquake devastation in Japan. The donation was organized through a sale of game items, game item packages specifically created to fund disaster relief efforts, with additional matching by Area Games. The fundraiser event ran from March 16th to March 31st, and all proceeds, hey, I like that, will be donated to the American Red Cross Japan Earthquake and Pacific Tsunami Fund, or its equivalent in Japan. Oh, I'm going to kill this name, and I apologize. Len Holm, CEO of Area Games, who resides in Tokyo, Japan, says, "We're very proud of the compassion and generosity shown by our community of players in helping the unfortunate victims of the recent devastation in Japan. We hope these contributions will help Japan's long road to recovery in the coming months. Our thoughts remain with those affected by the tragedy." Players across North America, Europe, and Latin America showed their support for the relief efforts in Japan during the event. Community forum announcements asked players to donate by purchasing unique Japan Red Cross benefit packages available in many area games titles. Games such as Dynasty Warriors Online and Grand Fantasia included specific armors or robes that could be worn in-game. Players were encouraged to show off these items with pride, inspiring others to donate to the cause. Aw, that's sweet. Way to go, Area Games, and way to go, your whole community. That is really great.
Oh, we love when they donate all the proceeds. It's sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in case you haven't heard, GLaDOS is... Yeah, stop. Apparently they got a wizard now. Well, yes, apparently GLaDOS, that evil computer, other word I can't say during daytime broadcasting, is all over the place. It's not enough. She's invading the TV. She's in other people's games. Portal 2 Arc draws to a close as a murderous AI GLaDOS invades two tribes' games. For the last 2 weeks, two tribes has worked together with Seattle-based Valve and eight other highly talented independent developers to realize the Portal 2 alternate reality game, also known as ARG. The third phase has just started, which sees the murderous AI from Portal 2 named GLaDOS invading both Tokitori and Rush, resulting in a unique new free crossover content between our games and the highly anticipated Portal 2. So what is this ARG, you ask? For a transcript of recent events, feel free to check out... I'm going to run his name out. DeJovan's great overview at and the link is up on our site, by the way. You can also follow ARG as it unfolds on their wiki page, which is also up on our website. I'm scared of GLaDOS. I don't know about you guys.
No way. She's going to be my best friend.
I told you, that's how the Matrix starts. She's already too aware. She must be unplugged, electrocuted, water. I'm carrying around water bottles from here on out. If you like water, GLaDOS.
Oh, GLaDOS, you better wash your back.
Sure better.
And your front, too.
Hey, all of it. Got a water gun filled with tetanus.
With tetanus?
To help the onset of rust early.
That is hilarious. Oh, my God. All right. So, hey, Corey, just how good of a judge are you of others, do you think?
Yeah, I'm a terrible judge of others, apparently. That's why I attract crazy people. I always think they're sane. They're just not. So, but
girl, I feel you there. Mr. Fonte's Games of Judgment launches in beta. A new Facebook game gets users to judge how well they know one another. I'm thinking, ooh, that sounds like Information League. Ooh, not good. All right.
Sounds like problems.
Sheffield Indie Rattle is pleased to announce the beta launch of their new Facebook game, Mr. Fonte's Game of Judgment, a game which taps into our compulsion to judge others with a look and feel of Victoriana Freak Show Fairground. That sounds kind of neat. Stemming from the very premise which gave rise to Facebook in the first place, Mr. Fonte's Games of Judgment gets players judging one another to see how well they think they know someone from first impressions. Funded by Channel 4's Digital Investment Fund at Screen Yorkshire and with backing from Facebook, Mr. Fonte's Games of Judgment is a series of mini-games which test how good your first impressions are and unveil what first impressions people have of you. I'm thinking I don't want to play this. Rattle's head of research, James Boardwell, says this is our very first game. It brings together two of our core strands, building brilliant things with data and creating experiences to engage people. We've done heaps of cutting-edge stuff for the BBC, Channel 4, Umbro, INQ Mobile, and the Science Museum, and now this is our chance to take something of that learning and put it into a fun game. Experimental psychologist and advisor on the game, Tom Stafford, says although this is not an experiment, the game has the potential to reveal surprising psychological facts. We're all exquisitively tuned to the social information available in people's faces and have learned by experience of the thousands of people we've met to have certain expectations of them. This game will show us exactly how sensitive we are and whether we have any blind spots for particular kinds of people or groups. Each mini game is based on the people's ability to close read different things, age, relationships, education, jobs, and interests. The first four to launch in the beta are Sexuality Game, imagine that, Spot the Straight, oh, come on, Relationship Status Game, Single or Taken, Older or Younger, and people like you. Players can opt for themselves in the game. Can opt for themselves in the game to see how people judge them. As a reward, Mr. Fonte presents the players with information in the form of cards about how people have judged you. Not only do I think this is a bad idea, but y'all definitely kind of irritated me with the whole spot the straight thing. That is just... Come on.
I'm talking muted. It's a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Yes, that is.
Because, and even if it's not a lawsuit, people are not... I'm going to tell you for a fact, women are not going to want to play. You start saying some not-so-nice things about people or what you think they are based on... Yeah, this is not not a good idea. It's an interesting social experiment to be done on a college campus, not on Facebook. I'm sorry. Anyway, I'm moving along. It's time for a break. No, I'm kidding.
I need one. I need a break. I need a nap. I need some pizza.
Oh, you ain't kidding.
Every
that sounds
day, people,
so good.
That's all I ask for the news in return for the news and Corey's sexy, sexy voice. It's pizza.
No.
And every day you fail to bring me pizza.
Me?
That's the point. Not you.
But I'm your friend.
Those out there, especially that guy, second row, fourth to the left.
I was going with those pants on. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that's all of you.
Especially.
Like, hopefully that's all of you.
Please have pants on and have your hands above the desk.
Oh, God, yes. Okay. Oh, wait. You meant that the other way. Okay, moving along.
Corey, your turn.
I'm all kinds of off today, every day.
Me too. I'm sleepy.
Okay, so you pirates out there, guess what? Might want to be careful. Some of you got caught. Gary's mod caught some pirates with an error message. This is from my friends at Games Industry .biz. The creator of Gary's mod revealed that he intentionally added an error message to the commercial version of the mod, which only appears in pirated versions of the game. And this is going to become commonplace. Dang it! Speaking on Twitter, Gary Newman commented on how he just enabled this mirror in Gmod today. It happens when you pirated it. Having fun watching people complain, he then provides a link to Google searching for the error message, unable to shade polygon normals. The error only occurs in pirated versions of the utility with the user's 64-bit Steam ID also forming a part of the message. Newman has identified the pirates and locked them out of the illegal version while also banning them from his forum. Damn. Okay. Questioned by fans as to why he implemented the measure, Newman responded, "I don't think the error isn't going to boost Gmod sales. I just like to give people that paid something to be smug about." Although it first became popular in 2004 as a free download, Gary's mod has been available on Steam as an officially licensed Source Engine product since 2006. And people are responding, well, they like that he's done this. I do. However, I've told you guys on occasion, I will take a game. I'll always buy it later, but I sure would hate that I was trying to get it to take a look at it and got an error. It got an error. That would be bad. Well, but I don't do it often. But those of you who do it very often, you never pay for your stuff. Yeah, you might want to be careful. You never know when they have this same code put in. Here's what's stupid. If you pirated a game, why exactly would you go to the forum and complain that you're having errors?
I don't know. That's kind of dumb. You stole it. You took it. You didn't pay for it. Why are you complaining?
It's pretty much the same as remember the wedding game that we play on Facebook?
Mm-hmm.
So the lady was complaining and, you know, demanding.
Oh, I read that. Oh, that lady.
What is it with some of you out there?
A developer.
Was
oh,
this?
What?
I told them, you should know that a beta. Anyway, some of you out there think everything is supposed to be free for you. I'm sorry, people. The internet is not completely free. It's just the way it works.
Are not free.
Interwebs are not free, and things on it are not just for you to walk up and take anytime you want. You got to pay. People got to eat. How would you like it if you get into work and your boss says, you know, this week, I don't think I'm handing out paychecks. I just don't feel like it.
That'd be a cut boss. I'd be like, what? No, that fund's my pizza fund and my gaming fund and my geekware fund and no.
That's right. And you'd be angry if he said, you know, I just feel like you should do it for free.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
No.
But he's getting a lot of high fives and love, and I have to say, go, Gary, go.
Ah, that's hilarious.
Well, he loves you, Gary. Okay, Ginger May, June.
Ginger Marie,
yeah. Ginger Jenkins.
Ginger Jenkins. Hey, that's me and Wow right there.
Oh, no.
True story. That's my name and Wow.
Oh,
all right. Introducing the Humble Frozen Bite Bundle. A new edition of the Humble Indie Bundle arrives today. Like past bundles, the Humble Frozen Bite Bundle asks consumers to pay what they want, with proceeds going to charity. The bundle consists of Trine, Shadowgrounds, Shadowground Survivor Splot, and bonus prototype game called Jackclaw. All of the games are DRM-free and available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. Consumers can once again divide the amount they pay for the bundle among Frozen Bite, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, or the Child's Play charity. Consumers can leave a tip to the Frozen Bite if they want to reward the company for its goodwill and good deed. Frozen Bite notes that Trine, Shadowgrounds, and Shadowground Survivor are very polished games that are ready to play out of the box, but aren't quite as polished. Taken from the page, it looks like Splot is still under development and will be added to your bundle once it's completed. Jackclaw is a prototype of a game Frozen Bite was developing but canceled before completion. Right, so if you're into that kind of thing and you want to help out a charity and, you know, pick up some cheap games, you can check it out over at humblebundle.com.
I may have to. Yes. Well, have you guys heard of Extainment? Extainment? We've talked about them. Extainment? That might be saying their name wrong. I keep wanting to say Extainment, but it's not probably not right. Xaitment? Okay. Whatever the name, how that's pronounced, called the Brain Pack 2011 is igniting game development. Three new game development studios have signed up for their cost-friendly AI game tool packages. I'm sorry, guys. Excitement is excitement, maybe. GmbH Inc., the leading artificial intelligence game tool provider for the video games and simulations industries, today announced new licensing agreements with Realm Forge Studios, TML Studios, and Promotion Software. The companies have taken advantage of Excitement's budget-friendly packages, including the newly implemented Brain Pack 2011, which provides smaller game studios with a bundle of their most popular game AI tools, which is SaintMap, SaintMove, and SaintControl. The outstanding tools provide everything that is needed to perform pathfinding, dynamic collision avoidance, and behavior modeling. I love me some collision avoidance. Oh, I'm such a geek. Okay, so the German-based companies were quick to sign up for the low-cost AI package. Realm Forge Studios, based in Munich, and TML Studios, is based in Erfurt, both signed with excitement within a few days of the Brain Pack 2011 program kickoff, and the Tübingen-based promotion software followed closely behind and getting signed up. Oh, gosh, wow. And, of course, as we tell you every day, they're always excited or thrilled to hear about their promotion. The AI tools are ideal for our next PC Xbox title, as the technology provides everything we need, has already been proven on both platforms, and offers excellent price-value ratio. That's from Benjamin Rolscher, who's the CEO of Realm Forge Studios. Also, over at TML Studios, Thomas Langelitz is also very pleased and excited to be working with them, and extremely satisfied with their highly competent staff. And, of course, the next one is excited, too. Ralph Stock, the CEO of Promotion Software. Good gracious. Everybody's so excited. They don't make games like they're excited, though.
So excited. All the time excited.
But they don't make the games like they're excited. They make the games like they're just trying to steal my $60 and give me a bad game. But anyway.
True story.
Let me see. I don't think they have any more information about it other than that. Other than that, you can pop over to their website. Again, it's spelled X as in xylophone, AITMENT.com, and go over if you're really into AI, and I am. Loves me some AI, pathfinding, collision detection, all that good stuff. And these people are out of Germany.
That's how the Matrix began, right?
Yeah, I know. I'm going to be the one to start this. That's what's going to be the irony of it. I'm going to be the one to create the Matrix, and then it's going to kill me first. That's what's going to happen.
No.
Hey.
Don't kill Corey. We need Corey. Don't kill Corey.
I know how to stop it. I have to go first. That's how it goes.
No.
I do. Oh, did I tell you about my bot that I had to delete because he kept talking dirty to me?
No. No, you didn't.
I'll tell you about that after the show. That was the weirdest thing. People, you have to be careful where you download these bots from. These AI bots, he was supposed to be all fresh and new and everything, you know. I was going to teach
him. Oh, he was fresh, all right.
He was fresh. It was all random. Like, I tell him to go look up such and such on Google, and he'd come back and say, you have very nice breasts. What? What? Where did you find that? So, yeah.
Oh, what were you telling him to research?
I don't know.
All right, now that that image is in my head, be a part of gaming history. Experience Chinese R&B pop star Aya Jahu's first ever in-game concert. I probably said that wrong, and I apologize. All right, Artix Entertainment, the indie game development studio that delivers downloadable free browser-based RPGs to 125 million users, is currently preparing for an all-new musical event this Friday, April 15th, starring Chinese R&B pop singing sensation Ai Jahu. Ai is an R&B pop singer who was recently called the Chinese Madonna on BBC. She has over 100 million song downloads in her home country. Friday's Adventure Quest World special event will be her first in-game concert. She is also preparing to launch a TV series and comic book called Fear Chaser Chronicles. The Fear Chaser event, named after Ai's newly released album, is a one-of-a-kind musical event where players will be able to experience an in-game concert with music and voice acting by the multi-talented Ai Jahu. After the concert, players will team up with Ai, the Fear Chaser, and battle against some of the most powerful fears that plague our players. By player vote, the reigning fears in this event are fear of heights, fear of the dark, and even fear itself. The event will feature all new zones, quests, cutscenes, and event rare items including armors, weapon, helms, capes, and pets. Each new play zone will play music from Ai Jahu's new Fear Chaser album. They say no matter what your age or your level, everyone is invited to attend this in-game concert and join Ai the Fear Chaser in the battle against fear. All right, so what is this thing called? It's the Fear Chaser musical event. It's going to be happening Friday, April 15th, 2011. At 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, R&B pop singer Ai Jahu, the AE team, and you is who. And why should you attend? Well, to attend the Ai's first ever in-game concert, score rare items, and most of all, to defeat some of your worst fears. If you want more information, you want to check this out, you can head over to AQ.com. That sounds kind of cool, Corey.
I thought they were saying she was the first ever person to perform in a virtual world, in which case I was going to say, no, you are not. There's concerts in Second Life, at least 50 million every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's where they got the idea.
You have to tell me it was the 3D chick from, is it Korea? Not real, the singer?
Oh, yeah, what happened to her?
I don't know. Maybe she fried.
She got sprayed with water and tetanus is what happened to her. That's what happened to her. Teach her to come out of the matrix.
Mm-hmm. You get back in the box.
Well, some of you will be happy to hear this, and some of you not, and some of you won't care. But it looks like there's a wee price cut set for May. Yes, you've been wanting to try one out anyway. Yeah, pick it up. Go ahead and pick it up. Nintendo said it could be a price cut for the Wii home console as early as this May, according to a new report. Engadget is suggesting that this will happen on May the 15th, and we'll see the console drop to about $150 in the U.S., although it points out that the move would be only weeks before the annual E3 game show, where big price announcements are usually made, also where new consoles are usually announced, and I'm telling you, there's some coming. If true, a price drop would fuel the speculation of a successor to the Wii. See? Which has been on the market since 2006 and boasts a lifetime sales of more than 85 million units. And before you say, oh, 85 million units, boo, keep in mind, this is without Wii's having had to be returned for Red Rings of Death. They made and kept their money. They're not having to recycle it to rebuild bad units. Just want to point that out. The console also currently retails for $199 here in the U.S., and Nintendo has, apparently Nintendo has confirmed this. They're saying this is going to be, it's for Kmart. I don't know why people posted say it's just for Kmart. Nintendo usually doesn't believe in, you know, one store having it for one price. Usually the Wii's, all their things are the same price wherever you go.
Yeah.
But they are confirming that it is going to be $149.99. So And I would like to tell some of you gamers out there, and some of you that are new to this, if you find one for more than $149.99, you need to pop over here and give us a shout. We do have a nice rep over at Nintendo that likes to know this kind of stuff. They do not believe in price gouging. And they will come after people, retailers and such, for doing things. They put that in effect, I think, back in 2008. No price gouging. You can sell you can sell bundles, but you cannot jack the price up of the basic Wii. So let us know. They asked us to tell them. What can I say?
That is true. That is very, very, very true.
Mm-hmm.
All right, where'd my story go? I lost my story.
You got 4 minutes, sister.
Oh. All right. Mass Effect 3, not MMO series. Did we already read this?
No, I don't think so.
I'm pulling this from Yahoo News tech section and PC World. Mass Effect 3, not the MMO series, could eventually be. All right. In our since there's not much news today, looks like they pulled this one. Mass Effect as a massively multiplayer online game, because according to BioWare, it makes sense.
It does.
Mass Effect 3 won't feature a multiplayer component, but it hasn't stopped BioWare from contemplating the possibility of an online version eventually. Hudson said to the Game Informer, part of what you're trying to do is save the universe so you can live in it. That part of the promise, I think, for any great IP, it has to be a world worth saving. Hudson thinks Mass Effect already has the back material to foster sprawling online play, adding that living on the Citadel or just taking a ship to the Omega makes sense. They say, you know, after you, as Hudson puts it, gets rid of the Reapers. while Hudson claims that the company hasn't yet figured out how to do it, he admits multiplayer is something we want to do more of in the future as a company. All right, so that's kind of awesome. The writer goes on to say, let's hope that company that same company figures out how to sell better stories. Once that don't involve cliched drug abuse storylines, cliched interspecies tension, cliched start-stop talking head storytelling, and those not so much cliched as cringeworthy sequences during which awkward avatars grope each other in mock sex poses like clumsy puppets.
Hey, are you making fun of Dragon Age?
That was just beautiful. Beautiful.
I don't know how they dig at everything. Let's see you do better. You know what your problem is? You don't have any women there. That's what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, dude, you're going to dig at something. Dig at it all. All at once. Dig it all up.
Wow, that was juicy. I see a fight coming there, too. Oh, it's coming. Oh, no, it's coming. Be ready. I saw an Old Navy commercial before we did the show. I figured this was appropriate again.
I'm not trying to put you down.
Now, you guys may have noticed that we have been tweeting game jobs. Some of you out there have been telling us on a Thursday night show that you're looking for a job. So we'll be tweeting them to you. If you're looking for a job, keep an eye on our Twitter. Also, you can find this news and other news at GamerNatrix.com, GamerGirlsRadio.com. And, of course, we're about to go into the non-streaming portion, which means you'll have to download to hear the rest of the news today and stay live with you all day. When you don't feed it.
True story, people. I want pizza. Where is my pizza?
It ain't gotta be
pizza.
How long
have we been
doing this? A couple of months.
It ain't gotta be pizza
for me.
We're starving over here. Can't you tell?
I would like some pizza. I won't lie. Oh, you know what I want? One of those habanero sandwiches from Domino's Pizza. Oh, those are the best sandwiches.
I don't have those, but you have me a habanero.
Well, it's hot and full of the jalapeno peppers. And I'm one of those people that likes it hot enough where you're sweating and you can't...
Wait, pull them back up. It's called habanero, but it has jalapeno?
It has habaneros in it and jalapeno.
Oh, okay.
And it's got some sweet and sour sauce and it's chicken and pineapple in it. Oh, bread is... Yes, but I like it hot enough for you're sweating, and the nose is running, and you're running around while you're eating it because it's so hot.
Only in Texas, people. Only in Texas.
I am a true Texan. I will tell you this story quickly before we go back to our news. My mother, when I was 3 years old, used to eat jalapenos, thought it was going to be cute. I kept telling her, can I have a bite of the pickle? And she said, sure. You know, think of this will teach her. bit it and went, oh, yeah, this is what I'm talking about. Just hand it over.
Hey. Nice.
I only know of one pepper in the world so far that's hot enough to where I cannot eat it in large abundance, and it comes from the Virgin Islands, and it's called Jamaican Yellow Bird Pepper. And it is so hot that I have to dip it. I have to dip a butter knife in it and then rub it on the top of the food. I can't pour it.
Ooh, that sounds hot.
It is very, very hot.
Ooh.
It lasts a long time here, too.
You may have to send me a jar of that, too.
Yeah, I think it's classified a hazard. I'll do that when I get some.
Very nice. Very nice.
So I got some good news.
You got some good news?
Not really. It sounded good to say it, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, hang on. I got to get back down here. People, you people with the press releases, I said before 11. Before 11. So some of you are not going to get read today. Sorry. Okay, so the lovely people over at this is a clear my throat. Icon Games. I'm sorry. Icon Games Entertainment have revamped a few games, calling it the Family Games Fun, are now available for your Apple, iPhone, and iPad for those of you who have them and are often out with your little ones. I say out because it's, you know, it is a babysitter sometimes. You girls out there know, you're trying to get your hair done, you got the little people with you. Yeah, this is a good deterrent. It says Icon Games revamps its timeless favorite title, Family Games Fun, which, of course, is available on the Apple iTunes Store. It was previously released on Nintendo, as we were, on the PlayStation Mini and PC, and, of course, the regular iPhone. It says it has a ton, or actually the word they use is plethora, of classic games to choose from. I'm trying to see if they have a list. Excuse me. Okay. It looks like they have Battlefleet, Knots and Crosses, which is tic-tac-toe, Matchsticks, Squares, which is dots, Four in a Row, Nine Men's Morris, called Nil, Hangman, and Safecracker. You know, I don't know any of these games. I don't think they're classic. I know the tic-tac-toe, the Four in a Row. Yeah, Hangman. Safecracker sounds vaguely familiar. Others say there's various game modes and settings so players can customize their very own gaming experience. They also have a tournament mode, which allows up to four players to participate, making this game the whole family can play together. Also has over 20 gameplay achievements for you to unlock. Again, it is available on the iTunes App Store for $1.99. There's also an HD version you can find there as well. And they're saying, of course, if you want to just check it out first, you can pop by their website, familygamesfun.com. And for more information on Icon Games, if you're interested, is icongames.com. Yay! I'm cheering for myself. Ginger, did I lose you?
No, I'm muted.
I was like, uh-oh.
No, I'm muted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to leave that out. That's not my fight. Okay. If you want to know what fight I'm talking about, pop on over by the feminism blog. There's a link somewhere on our website. We were featured over there for an article that I wrote, and there's drama. I did not start it. I'm going to say this time I did not start it. I just wrote the article.
This time. You notice she has to say this time.
Well, sometimes I do what I do. I get in the middle, I throw a few elbows, and then I step out and let the fight take place. But this time I did nothing.
A few elbows. No, she makes sure everybody in arm's reach has two black eyes.
And I blame it on everybody else. She did it.
You tricked me. It just happened.
No, I didn't hit him at all. So you never admit to hitting
him. see, I have much to learn from this, Corey.
You have much to learn. You have.
All right. Well, you know what else, Corey?
What?
If you wipe it, you get a newborn.
No. Mm-mm. I think I want you to...
I have no idea what the title has to do with this. All right, Dragon's Call Server 6 and Server 7 launching soon. Everdream Studio is announcing pretty many movements this month, including their launch plans for their new servers. Do not stare at the image for this news. It doesn't relate to this topic. There is no image. And the enchanting look does draw people to wipe it, just like every time when new players skip the old ones and head into a newly launched game or server, they want to wipe up their old game memories and get a fresh new start. All right, I don't know who wrote this, but fire them, okay? Just fire them. Dragon's Call might fit the appetite of those players who are looking for something new. The game is a fantasy-themed browser game with exclusive features such as chessboard-alike instance maps, Sky City Arena with different combination group fights, and the Guild War, where players have chances to ride on dragons when entering. Furthermore, three gambling systems in Dragon's Call, Divining, Magic Formation, and Crystal Origin, are somehow enticing for those interested in trying their luck. Okay, web game fans may keep an eye on it now, since the two new servers, Server 6 and 7, are going to launch respectively 2300 Thursday, April 14th, 2011, and Eastern 5 a.m. Thursday, April 28th of 2011. All right, seriously, I don't know who wrote this or which language it was translated from. Fire them. Just
all your base are belong to us.
Yes. Right.
You don't see us trying to translate
servers and some other stuff.
I was gonna say you don't see us trying to translate, but we do have some other language things up on our site. All right.
Spanish. And Corey just got quiet.
Oh no, I muted on accident. Okay, so now if you heard I think I got to tell you this yesterday. Activision was reporting that Guitar Hero was on hiatus, but it wasn't going away.
No, don't remember that.
Well, I wanted to yesterday. Activision's Dan Winters told GamesIndustry.biz that the Guitar Hero franchise is not necessarily dead, but merely on hiatus for now. Speaking as part of a larger interview to be published this week on GamesIndustry.biz, Winters revealed that the game could still see a return to the shelves as long as the publisher sees an opportunity for it to succeed. Actually, just to clarify, he says we're putting Guitar Hero on hiatus. We're not ending it. Winters explained, says we're releasing products out of the vault. We'll continue to sustain the channel. The brand won't go away. We're just making a new one for next year, that's all. Guitar Hero was originally culled as part of the cuts, which Activision enacted in February in an attempt to concentrate business on a number of tentpole titles. 500 jobs were also shed during that process. Previously, Activision had issued a statement announcing that the business unit handled Guitar Hero would be disbanded. Due to declines in the music genre, the company will disband Activision Publishing's Guitar Hero business unit and discontinue development on its Guitar Hero game for 2011, is what the press release read. At its peak, Guitar Hero was one of Activision's most bankable franchises, in part due to the high price of games bundled with plastic controllers, but a quick succession of sequels and spinoffs saw the series suffer from fatigue in the fickle console market. As part of the same interview, Winters also revealed that he believes that another Axe title, True Crime Hong Kong, would have been a relatively high-scoring game, but would not have presented an adequate commercial opportunity for the publisher as the presence of games like Red Dead Redemption make the genre too competitive. Well, that's what it's all about, people, competition. As we think that the game was tracking to be a very good game, Winters said. The question was really the size of the prize based on how good it could be. We're confident that the thing would have been 80-plus, 85 maybe. Okay, and they go on and on, and they go off into the true crime in development about true crime, but you let it go, so let it go. Dan Winters is going to be speaking at the Festival of Games, which will be April 28th through the 29th. He says more information about the event can be found, of course, on gamesindustry.biz. Somebody is really trying to get a hold of me.
Somebody's really about to get cut. If I know
they are.
All right. I'm going to pull a story from Game Politics since we've got some time. Math guy wants video games in class. Dr. Keith Devlin at his lecture, First Person Solvers, Mathematics Education in the Video Game Era, for Sonoma State University's annual math festival says, my goal is not to replace teachers, but to provide a powerful new tool. Devlin is a professor at Stanford University and the Human Sciences and Technologies Advanced Research Institute, but he is best known as the math guy on National Public Radio. He thinks that the use of video games as resources for aiding teachers in creating what he calls quantitative literacy, or literacy in everyday real-world math, is a grand idea. In a recent lecture, he used Brazilian children who run open market stands for their parents as examples. Because these children have real-world experience with math, they are able to do mathematical calculations for prices and change in all of the hustle and bustle of such an environment. Yet somehow these same youngsters were unable to perform the exact same calculations in class setting using paper, pencils, and formulas taught in schools in the United States. Devlin says that this is due to the symbols students have associated with math.
You know, there's we got these a while ago, and unfortunately, it came from Dreamcatcher. I can't remember, but they sent us three games that were for little people that were math, you know, there was a mathematical, a science, and a reading one. So I had to wait till I get the kids here. That's what's taking so long for the review. But the games are excellent, and would you believe that the whole time the little ones are here, they actually sit and play them. And they the one that's their favorite is the math one.
Oh, that is cool.
Go figure. It's on the DS.
That's awesome. I'm glad that they enjoy that.
Yeah.
Devlin goes on to say the main goal, is to promote mathematical thinking rather than memorizing multiplication tables and formula equations. Devlin sees video games as a great way to accomplish this goal. He says every video game is already a learning device, whether learning to kill people or steal cars or do math. Because those games are really going to teach me how to steal a car.
I said that before. I know if I do my fingers.
Oh, that's my phone.
They're calling you now.
I know, right? Devlin is working with other math professors and video game developers to create a video game to aid in learning in a way that fundamentally changes the role of a math teacher. Math teachers might not like the way that sounds, but Devlin insists that his goal is not to replace the math teachers. Instead, he feels that games can enhance and improve math education as a whole. He goes on to say, you need the sweet spot. You need each person to be working at the limits of their competence. Devlin's video game-based ideas are still being developed, but he hopes that games can change the way children learn about mathematics. Oh, so that's kind of cool. That was over from GamePolitics.com, if you want to head over there and check that out. Looks like they pulled it from the Sonoma State Star. And you noticed I didn't even make one joke about the sweet spot.
And you wanted to. I saw you.
It was so hard. It was like, no, this is serious. This is serious, Ginger.
But he's got a great idea. I've been saying for years, I'm waiting for the state to make the school go green and actually get, you know, put it this way. This is what before the iPad came out, that's what I saw in my head that kids should have. I think it should be one they check out just like a book. You tell the parents anything happens to this iPad, you bought it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to pay a maintenance fee. Here's, you know, give us $25, and then that's it. The kid gets to take the iPad home. All their assignments are on it. They got their books there, and it stops. You know, I think it cuts down the cost of having to buy a textbook. They can be updated as, you know, history happens. Hey, we need to start using our technology. So I agree with him. And math, excellent, because I'm telling you, if I sat down with some of these kids and started trying to teach them math, it's completely different from when I put this little, you know, the DS in the hands and said, here, play this, and, you know, didn't look up for 2-3 hours. It was three of them, little girls. It was so cute.
Oh, that's awesome.
And they sat and played math. Same thing happened, Brain Age is another one that came out, where they have to do the math quickly. They got, 20 seconds to answer as many multiplication and addition problems as they can.
Mm-hmm.
And excellent. This also stumps adults. You think you know your multiplication and addition, don't you? Get Brain Age and sit around with a group of people after you've been drinking and see. I said drunk Brain Age. I'm serious. Hilarious. What is 5 plus 2? Really?
Ah, that is so true.
Yes. So, sadly, it is almost time for us to bid you a fond adieu.
Yes.
And I did want to let you guys know the developers at Ricochet will not be joining us tomorrow night, but the week after. But we'll all still be here. You can still come and visit with us. Because you know we'll be crazy.
Mm-hmm. Every Thursday, crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we do crazy.
All day, every day. Mm-hmm. And your magical codes are coming. I don't know what I'm going to do yet. I may make you send me pictures of shoes. I don't know. Yeah, it's warbly, so Miss Pac-Man is not in love with us today. Mm-mm. They don't like us. Let me try it again. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love. Oh, it got worse. No. BT, why do you hate us? We're probably warbly, too. We sound like the parents on Charlie Brown. Wah, 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 wah.
Well, I know you get quiet for a little bit a minute ago, but it went away really quickly.
BT hates us.
Mm-hmm. They're jealous. They're totally jealous.
They're going to be like, we're going to cut you guys a show. You keep saying we hate you. Show you how much we hate you. All right, lovely people. We will see you guys bright and early tomorrow with more gaming news. And hopefully,
more gaming news.
Yes, hopefully you're listening to us while you're playing some magic if you're lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Bye, guys.
Say good afternoon, Ginger.
Good afternoon, Ginger.